going to be in Amos chapter 8. We're going through the minor prophets, and we're starting a new chapter today. But let me just say, it's the same message, the same theme. God is warning about impending judgment and the reason for judgment. Here he's going to give us a picture of ripe fruit, a picture of ripe fruit, a basket of ripe fruit. We know the Lord often uses common objects to teach spiritual truths, and that's what we're going to see today. This common object. You may have a basket of fruit in your house that's kind of smelly and fruit flies all over it. It's ready for the trash. Amen. Unfortunately, it gets that far every once in a while, but hopefully you can salvage the bananas and make banana bread. Amen. Amos chapter 8, we'll begin by reading the chapter, 14 verses, and then obviously we have a shorter Sunday school. I do not believe I'll get through the lesson, but keep your outline. We'll start it today and probably finish it next week. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned, and by the flood of Egypt, as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise again. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we still want to thank you, Lord, for Brother Bell and his family there in Brazil. We thank you for how you've blessed them, Lord. Thank you for giving them wisdom and direction in their ministry. We thank you for the opportunities they had to help the homeless and the drug addicts and alcoholics probably. And Father, you've given that open door to them and that heart for those people. We thank you for the development of this outreach now and their vision to reach masses. Lord, we just pray for fruit. We pray for souls to be saved and men to be called and that they can be effective in discipling and training men for the ministry. So, Father, we thank you for this good work and for their ability, and thank you for the Mendozas, that it will be alongside them in some way and they can help them. We thank you that they're learning the language as well, and all things are going well. So we thank you, Father, for these blessings and how you're working. And certainly, Lord, we have that same vision right here in Humble and in our community here, Father, that you would save souls as we try to reach people with the gospel, and Father, direct them to the Word of God and to study the Word of God and how to be saved. And so, Father, bless our ministry here as well and give us new disciples and men called to preach as well. We ask you for that blessing. And, Father, we also pray now for the Sunday School Hour. Be with the youth, be with the children, be with each class, be with our class and in this short time. May it be also a time that we can be edified through the Word of God, and bless the hour to follow and bless the preaching of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So here we have harvest time and people keeping the feast of booths, at which token offerings of the abundance of the land were brought thankfully to God. The feast was a joyful because of the blessing of the harvest, in which the fruit of the land had become ripe. It was a promise of future years' prosperity. So, you know, God's taken something that normally would be a blessing. It would be give them expectation and hope for future harvest. And here we have a basket of ripe fruit here in verses 1 and 2. And it's ready to be eaten. It's luscious, good fruit. Yet God says that's the picture of the nation that's ripe for judgment. So that's what the Lord's teaching here. It's ripe for judgment. And so let's get into our lesson today. Number one, the certainty of judgment. The certainty of judgment. And as I mentioned, letter A, God uses object lessons. God's object lessons. We think back, how about the book of Jeremiah and pottery and what God did there with the object lesson there. You see in Luke chapter 8, the seed and the sower. You have yeast in Matthew 16, and here we have a basket of summer fruits. So God will often take that which we know and use every day and teach us some lessons. And that's what we're seeing here. And so just as this fruit was ripe for eating, the nation was ripe for judgment. And it's kind of a play on words that we don't get in English. It kind of sounds the same in Hebrew. And the idea is, it's an end. It's coming to an end. The nation is ripe for judgment, and it's coming to an end. And we see in Jeremiah 8:20, it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." That's kind of the idea here that we see in Amos chapter 8. But aren't you thankful for God's, letter B, God's long-suffering and patience? Amen? But we do see there comes a time when God's long-suffering and patience runs out and judgment is decreed. And that's what God's talking about here, the songs that they sing in the temple. Instead of being those songs of joy and worship are going to be funeral dirges with weeping and wailing, and corpses would be thrown everywhere and not given proper burial. That's a pretty sad state, isn't it? We see that being done over in Ukraine even now. Mass burials. Bodies everywhere. And so that's the picture here. What's going to happen in God's judgment it would be a bitter harvest for Israel, as the nation unfortunately reaped what it sowed. And God is speaking, you know, like, you're not going to, it's going to be so bad that you're going to, it says, they shall cast them forth with silence, the end of verse 3. So it's so bad that there's not even words. You can't even speak. It's just silence there. So number two, not only the certainty of judgment, we see the cause of judgment. And this is where we have a familiar passage, right? As we go through the minor prophets, all these sins come back up over and over again. So what do we see? The people were guilty of social injustice. Here we see in verses 4, "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail." So here they are, abusing the poor and needy. Abusing the poor and needy. By way of illustration, you know, like our government said, you know, you're not going to be taxed $400,000 and under, right? And so now they're coming out with, if you do business online, well, you remember the $600 in your bank account above $600. Well, that failed, but they had it in there, didn't they? And now they're going to try to push, if you have any type, you do any business like PayPal or Venmo or anything online, over $600 will be reported to the government. Anything you make over $600, you're going to get a 1099. That's going to be taxable income. Right now, it's $20,000 and under is not taxed. So, my question is this. Who are they going after? Yeah. People who are just on a micro business, probably because they need extra income for the family, to raise a family, and they're the ones they're going after. And yet, they lie about it, you know, like they're for the poor and needy. Well, just look at the inner cities and you'll find out what they're for and what the condition is. We've seen this over and over back through the chapters. Remember chapter 2, we'll not go back. Chapter 4, chapter 5. You have people enslaved to their work and excessive demands and just, you know, very poor pay and so forth. And that's, brethren, that's how it is around the world, just so you know. People work excessive hours for nothing, and they have nothing. That's like, and that's what we were talking with the Howers. If you didn't meet the Howers there, Alyssa's parents, Ben and Alyssa Hall. Alyssa wasn't with Ben when he came, but you remember Brother Hall when he was here. And so we're thankful they're here. But we were talking last night of how good we have it in America. And if you haven't traveled the world, if you have, you know, it's a blessing to get outside our country and see the reality of the world, how most people live, like 90% of the people of the world live. And then you come back here and you hear all the complaining here when you really have it. You see, and I'm not justifying anything, but I am saying that the poorest of America are the richest around the world. That's basically, if you can put that in perspective, that's where people live. And it's hard to minister to them. You know, like we were in Chile and basically they would work 7 days a week if they could get them to work 7 days a week in 12-hour days, because you had, you know, early in the morning you had to be in, then they had a longer lunch break, so then they'd be working to 7 at night because you had that longer lunch break, and so then you had all the transportation. They had to take all these buses to get back home, one or two buses all across town and all around the provinces, and you're like, there's no time for nothing except work, go home, sleep, get back to work, and there's no time for church, no time for God, no time for discipleship. It's terrible. And the people there would stay up to midnight, 1 in the morning, so they can eat and be with their family, and then they'd be up at 6 going to work. So I had a hard time keeping that schedule, but we did. I don't know how they do it. But think about that. You know how terrible Africa was, just the same or even worse. Let's put it that way. How people work there and for nothing. I guess the hardest thing that really bothered me in a lot of these places is that they would work a whole month because they get paid at the end of the month, and then they would stick them and not even pay them. Terrible. And they just move on to someone else, you know. And there's no protections or anything, you know, for them. Who are they going to go and complain to, and who's going to fix that for them? Anyway, these things happen today, just like here. But we know that it does have to do with letter B. Not only were they guilty of social injustice, but letter B, the people were guilty of superficial worship. And worship is tied with that, is it not? False worship and idolatry. What will that lead people to do? Saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small, the shekel great, falsifying balances by deceit. So by law, brethren, they honored the weekly Sabbath and other holy days, but it was a thorn in their flesh, was it not? It was like demands upon them that they didn't really like. They weren't enjoying it. They despised it. Why? Because it interrupted their daily affairs and their business dealings. It cut into their profits. So even while they sat in worship, they longed for the service to be over. They can open up the doors for their markets, their businesses, and resume their transactions. So even though they're in church, and this is the danger of us, you know, we get so distracted by temporal things of life. You can come in the house of God and be here in body, but not here in mind and in spirit, in heart, because you're like so distracted with everything else. And God knows our heart. That's why Jesus said, "We are to work." God's looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We ought to be 100% here when we're here, amen? I'm not saying, you know, obviously when you're sick and ill and distracted by that, which is, I'm a little distracted right now, but I'm doing my best. But, you know, it could take you down a little bit and keep you, but that's not what the Lord's talking about. It's about, you know, my heart's not on the Lord. My heart's not on the things of God. Because I'm thinking about my business, I'm thinking about my problems, I'm thinking about these, what I'm going to do out in the world, and that's what he's against, amen? So let's be careful about not falling into these sins. And then, obviously, letter C, they were guilty of theft. What was that theft? Well, We are saying at the last part of verse 5, what are they doing? They're falsifying balances by deceit. So here they are, deceiving the people. to increase their profits. Dishonest scales, false measures, you know, false weights and balances there. And these are supposed to be the people of God, right? They were guilty of theft. In letter D, they were guilty of actually enslaving individuals, verse 6, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. And yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. So here, the idea is, okay, you can't pay your debt. All right, we own you now for this. And so it was greed. We know it's a spirit of greed, and they were willing to enslave their neighbors in order to increase their own wealth. And so people were unable to earn enough money. They were unable to get the necessities of life. And so they sold themselves as slaves and slave laborers in order to provide for their families. And this is bondage and servitude, just, and that was even for small debts, like for a pair of shoes. That's pretty sad. So God's bringing judgment because of this sin. And then also, verse 6, that they were guilty of deception, letter E. They were guilty of deception. So they sold inferior products. What do we get off the shelves in America? Made in China. A lot of the stuff that we used to have in America that, you know, would last you a lifetime, now are throwaway items. Isn't that crazy? You think, man, I got this, you know, I invested all this money, $1,000 for this, $2,500 for that, and $3,000. And then all of a sudden, it breaks, and they're like, well, we don't carry those parts anymore. They have, in other countries, they have throwaway cars. We had, in Chile, they had that Russian Lada, L-A-D-A, and it was so cheap. And everyone's like, yeah, we're going to get the Ladas. And then all the taxi drivers had Ladas, and then all of a sudden, they broke, and there was no parts to get to fix them. Then they did that again with Chinese cars. Oh. Uh-oh, she's listening to me and recording this and sending it off to China. By the way, that's 5G. 5G isn't about phones, just so you know. It's connecting everything in the world to one system. That's 5G. Yep. You know where we're heading, amen? Get ready. And that's what the whole, you know, you think about all this stuff, and then we're preaching in Revelation chapter 20 on the millennial reign. Amen. We know where we're going. Amen. Hopefully you're going with us. So do we see now what's going on? Why God says there's certainty of judgment. There's a cause here. And then we'll see next week the final consequences. Let number 3, I'll give you that out on your outline. The consequences of judgment. Sad consequences. But thank the Lord for salvation, for mercy, and for understanding the truth. And, you know, even though this world may be heading down quick, down the wrong path, we're on the right path. Amen. And when the Lord, the next thing we're listening for is that shout, that trumpet, and we will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And what a joy that's going to be. And the Bible tells, comfort one another with these words. So no matter what's going on in the world, remember this, Jesus is coming back and Jesus is catching us away. Amen. Amen. That's the comfort. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer. You got 5 minutes.